Sportsfly.com.
I don't know how you would rebuild over mudslide.
This ground is very loose and ashy, and so we hope for the best.
It's very bad. Very windy, very bad. I had to take my dog to the vet, so that's the only reason I'm out.
I'm not aware of how big this storm is. Should I be nervous? Should I be preparing?
Oh, my, oh, my. California getting slammed by a freaky storm. We've seen a lot of them this past year, haven't we? Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you across this great country. And all the nooks and crannies, all my friends in the flyover states, that's you, Midwest, say hello. And everybody else down south and the southeast and just about everywhere. I was thinking about this today, looking at a map, how lucky we are to live in the United States of America and how unique and different all of our states are, which is why we're always so vigilant about trying to burn the flame for things like Made in America and really pushing the freedom bell, meaning don't take away our civil liberties. We like the Constitution. There's a reason why this document holds up. We're such a young country, really, when you compare our country to so many others in Europe, etc. Anyway, not to go off on a tangent, it wasn't about, in California, it wasn't about the pride of being a California. It's about battening the hatches because of this crazy storm. And when I say crazy, I was looking at the Weather Channel and some other weather outlets to get a handle on this. And it, apparently it's high winds and crazy amounts of rain where we're talking in some places in San Francisco. They're saying could be 6 to 8 inches and flooding, and already that's happened in some of these towns in California. Even Southern California is going to get hit by that. Mudslides is always a possibility when you're talking about heavy, heavy rain, which means that is it going to be a state of an emergency in the Golden State? And if it is, can FEMA withstand more people asking for money? More states in dire situations where they need rebuilding money? Let's hope it doesn't get to that, but it's not looking good. And it may just be in one intense area, and then it would span out where you'd have a couple of inches of rain and some of the others, but heavy winds of up to 80 miles an hour, and we know what wind damage can do. We've seen it with other storms, and this does not bode well anyway for the people that are living all along that, really all along that coastline, but particularly in Northern California. Seems like that's where they're going to get hit the worst, which might, in one sense, be a blessing for the people in Southern California, because usually with the mudslides, it happens in both places, but with the mudslides in Southern California, they can be so much worse because of how the houses are built on that in that coastal area. But either way, not good news for Cali. So far, they're weathering it, let's say. And that's what you just heard there, people talking about the storm. Storm of a different sort was the craziness over Powerball. And we're going to talk about that in our next segment. There were a couple of winners. So if you were hoping, praying, crossing fingers, lighting candles and all that, thinking, oh, please let this be my moment. Please think again, because that's not going to be your moment unless you're that ticket winner in Arizona or in Missouri. But we'll get to that coming up around the bend. Obama and Romney, the two are going to break bread at the White House on Thursday. No media invited, no camera around, no photo op, none of that for media types. They're shut out of this one. But what will they talk about? Obama decided he was going to have Romney to the White House for lunch, and Mitt Romney accepted. So is this gracious of Obama? Is this something that means a futuristic possibility of Romney working with Obama on something? Who knows? Just could be a friendly chit-chat between the two men. I'm sure little bits and pieces will eventually come out, but how about this? At the White House in the briefing, to hear Jay Carney say, oh, yeah, on Thursday, Governor Romney's going to have a private lunch at the White House with President Obama in the private dining room. It's going to be the first chance they have had to visit since the election, and there's no press coverage of the meeting. So the fly on the wall is buzzing around and wondering, what will they talk about? Because Romney really hasn't been around since his five-minute concession speech in Boston on election night. There's been some pictures of him, some photos, but that's it. Photos of him doing different things, but he hasn't made any public appearances after the election. He's made some comments on a call with some top donors, and that was immediately criticized by Democrats and the Republicans. So, you know, because of what he said when the president's campaign, you know, what the president's campaign did was focus on certain members of his base coalition, giving them extraordinary financial gifts from the government, then working aggressively to turn them out to vote. That was the last attack on Obama. And he said, you know, with regards to young people, for instance, a forgiveness of college loans was a very big, big gift. So what could they possibly be talking about? I guess Obama just leaves all the comments behind. In 2008, Obama met with John McCain, though, after beating him in the presidential election. They met at the transition spot in Chicago and issued a statement afterwards saying they hoped to work together on financial crisis issues and work on the energy economy and protecting security. And I don't know how much of that has happened since 2008. So Obama does have, in other words, a record of doing this because he did it with John McCain. Or is there something more personal here? Will something come out of the meeting that could really be a curveball that could throw people for a loop? You know, my wild theory is Tim Geithner's done. He decides, that's it, I'm out. I'm not going to be the Secretary of the Treasury anymore. And Barack Obama asked him to do that, to be the Secretary of the Treasury. Can you imagine? After everything that went down, Mitt Romney, who's not going to run for office again, getting a cabinet spot. Of course, it would have to be approved. I think there'd be jaws that would hit the floor, if you think about it, on the Hill. They'd be stunned if something like that actually happened. But I don't think so. May just be a conversation to say, you know, attaboy, you ran a good campaign or whatever, but haha, I'm the winner, so I don't know. Romney lost to Obama by 126 electoral votes. 126. That was the ultimate number of that particular part of the equation, which is big, because you have to have the electoral votes to get elected. That's it. Period. Powerball, we're talking about it, and some other odds and ends next. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Lunch is ready!
And it's an MRE smorgasbord at longlifefood.com. In 1983, Long Life Food Depot was one of the first to sell MRE pouches to the public, and we're still selling them almost 30 years later. Today, Long Life Food Depot has the world's most complete MRE online buffet, because MREs are all we do. Tasty varieties of chicken, beef, salmon, and pasta entrees, plus sandwiches and our easy-to-use pouches. Full moisture, long shelf life, and ready to eat hot or cold. We sell by the pouch or case. So the choices are endless, and so are the graduated quantity discounts. The more you buy, the more you save. Call 800-601-2833 or go to longlifefood.com to join our email list for upcoming announcements like the Rollaway Food Pod. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping. Just call 800-601-2833 or visit longlifefood.com. Emergency preparedness, emergency relief. Longlifefood.com since 1983, sending real food to your real future.
Hard to describe. I mean, it can mean a lot of freedom, a lot of pay sales, help my friends, things like that, you know.
First thing I would do is buy a house and pay off my car.
What are we going to do if we win? Well, we'll probably have a good times party for the whole family.
I'm here for nine people. There's $150 here going in, and all we need is here's a second pick. We're not greedy.
In the $579.9 million Powerball jackpot could be split among groups of people. We don't know. Just the two tickets are winners, one in Arizona, one in the great state of Missouri. A lot of people listening in Missouri. Are you out there, Bill, Joe, Phil, Ron, any of you the winners? You're never going to call the show again, huh? 5, 16, 22, 23, 29, and the Powerball was 6. What's so crazy is there was just massive buzz over the Powerball. Tickets were selling at a massive clip, an average of 130,000 a minute across the U.S. right before the drawing, hours before the drawing. So that would be equal to players buying 7.8 million tickets an hour. They spent $15.6 million an hour for a chance at the big, big jackpot. I say why not? It spawned conversations about how stupid it was and how they were corrupting us with the lottery. I say boo-hoo. Here's the thing. I mean, I'll say it again. I've said it now a couple of different times. If you have a gambling problem and you're taking a paycheck and you're cashing in, you're plunking it all down on the chance of winning the jackpot, well, yeah, there's a problem there, but that could be a problem at a slot machine or anything else to do with gambling. If you're just for fun buying a little bit of, putting a little bit of money into the lottery to pay, you know, throwing out a couple of shekels to get a few chances, who cares? It's like a fantasy thing. Why not? Get excited. Talk about it for a few hours. It gets us off the fiscal cliff. Right? Fiscal cliff? What fiscal cliff? I'm not on the fiscal cliff anymore. It would be wild. You have to admit. It would be wild to win that kind of money, because if you broke it down and you got the cash option, you'd be looking at $379.8 million. Now, if it's split, so it'd be a little less than that. Oh, how hard to live with $100 million. Now, what would your... Everybody always talks about, oh, I'd help poor people, and I'd set up a charity, and I'd do blah, 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 something positive for the community, or I'd move to another community, do something, whatever. I'd help my friend who's struggling with whatever. And that's all good, but what's the real fantasy thing that you would do? What would you, you know, you have that extra change in your pocket right away. So you're going to be smart with the money. You're going to live off the interest. Okay, cool, all that stuff. But the very first thing that you do when you have some extra cash, what is the purchase you make? I mean, are you running out to buy some extravagant leather coat that there's no way you would buy otherwise? How about a car? You decide, you know what, I've always wanted to drive a Porsche, and I can have it. I got the cash and my money. This is it's nothing for me to plunk this money down for this. I'm just gonna go buy myself a car. I'm gonna plunk the money down, and I don't have to worry about it because I paid cold cash for it, and I got plenty of money left. I think it's the fantasy thing that people think about. That, okay, hopefully you have a practical side and there's these practical things you're going to do, but there's also this fantasy thing of, wow, what do? I can just go on a plane. I can pick a place I want to go to anywhere. It could be in the country. It could be out of the country. I'm just going to go. I'm just jetting because I don't have to worry. I've got the cash now. I'm not sweating it out. I'm not saving. I'm not looking for great deals from the airlines or package deals or anything. I don't have to look for that. I can just go. Go, go, go. I think that's the first thing I do. It would just be go, go, go. And then do all the things you're supposed to do. But just jump on a plane and go somewhere. And I don't even know where, actually. But go somewhere. Anyway, that dream is over, except for a few people in Arizona and Missouri. Could be separate tickets. Could be that it's a group that went in and bought a whole bunch of tickets. No way to know that just yet. I'm sure we will, but we don't know that right now. This is a crazy story that I feel compelled to tell you about, since we were talking about big numbers in the lottery and all that other kind of stuff. And I happen to catch a link to this, but you know that whole thing of hitting reply all? Somebody hit reply all, and that reply all went to 40,000 New York University students. So it was an email forwarded from a college sophomore to his mom, but it became a circular kind of thing. Max Whistler, 19 years old, tried to forward an email from the bursar's office asking if his mom would like to sign up for paperless tax forms. But instead, he accidentally hit reply all, and it sent out the email to all those students. When he realized what he did, he sent out an explanation. Sorry, Gmail switched my reply to reply all, but the virtual door has already been open. So how about that?
The crazy part of this story is I heard about this earlier in the day, and it was... Everybody found out it was like a glitch in the system where you could reply all to emails. So throughout the day, there were people sitting in class and, you know,
hitting reply all.
I'm going back to school, so I know what this is like, where you're getting email after email from all these students who are just replying all with like just worthless things. I mean, I saw examples. There's some websites I go to that posted some of these emails, and it's like pictures of Nicolas Cage, people asking what should I have for dinner, like just random stuff. And people are like, you had people getting mad because they're trying to study and they're getting just thousands of emails.
Yeah, and you're right. They did say they were cracking up on it. Like somebody wrote, would you rather fight 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck? Then does anyone have a pencil I can borrow? All that kind of stuff. And it just snowballed. You're right about that. That was the hilarious thing. I mean, now it's hilarious to think of. But it was some kind of a faulty server that was they're blaming it for. And there was somebody that worked at the Student Resource Center that said it was his fault that he was assisting the bursar with an email message and didn't realize the list that he was using was the one that allowed for responses. So disabled by midnight. Some of the emails were still trickling in. Oh, that's brutal. And then everybody gets that email. Oh, 40,000. That's crazy. 40,000 emails. The response thing is very, very, very funny. Hey, coming up on America Tonight, we got a couple of interesting things, including We Can Count, because I keep saying it's about the numbers. Now, since it's about the numbers, I don't know if they'll get the numbers, but having covered baseball, I realize this. Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Sammy Sosa are all going to be on the Hall of Fame ballot. The steroid era player, these are the guys, this is the start of that, guys who had big numbers that would all of a sudden be on the ballot. So they had huge numbers, but they all were touched by accusations that they used performance-enhancing drugs. Bonds is the all-time home run champ, 762. He won 7 MVP awards. Clemens had 7 Cy Young trophies, and he's 9th with the wins, 354. Sosa, 8th on the homer chart with 609. For all that stuff, the shadow of performance-enhancing drugs hangs in the balance. There are about 600 members of the Baseball Writers Association of America. They vote on the 37-player ballot. The candidates have to have 75% for the induction, and the results are announced on January 9th. What are the odds that they'll be able to get in? I'm going to say the odds are long. Very, very long. Because I don't think enough of those writers are going to say, okay, well, we'll put an asterisk next to their name with their plaque on the hall. We'll do that. I don't think so. I think the dark clouds are still hanging over all those names I just mentioned. We're kicking the can down the road. Kick it with us.
Soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
For all women and men who wish their fingernails were harder, this Christmas, wishes come true. Introducing Nails of Steel, a new revolutionary nail hardener. Nails of Steel puts muscle into your soft nails with a creamy, rich, natural herbal formula that is antifungal, hypoallergenic, and biodegradable. Just massage a drop of Nails of Steel over your natural or polished nails and go. With Nails of Steel, there's virtually no drying time. Within the first week, you'll notice your nails getting stronger to eliminate breaking, chipping, splitting, hangnails, nails and fungus. Nails of Steel makes a great stocking stuffer for women or men. And right now, get 3 1-ounce bottles for only $74.95. That's about a $5 price break on each bottle. That'll last you for months. Visit nailsofsteel.com. That's nailsofsteel.com. Nails of Steel. It's like a salon in a bottle.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Who wants to be disease-free, full of energy, and vibrant health? Two reasons you may feel constantly tired and run down could be that your body's acid level is high and your pH level is low. How does acid enter your body? A cup of coffee, a sandwich, tap water, stress, and cell phones. Plus, your own body produces acid on a regular basis. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops alkalize the water you drink and raise your pH level. They promote more oxygen in your system, higher energy potential, and many other documented health benefits. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops is the least expensive and the best pH level product you can buy. Order AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. That's 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health with pH Drops from AlkaVision.com.
We have Nail the Score. Joining us now is Dave Blett. He has written a book about the death penalty, but not the kind of death penalty you're thinking about here on America's Night that we've talked about so often, states that don't want it and states that do. We're talking about the college death penalty. We're talking about the NCAA putting the death stamp, the death penalty, on SMU. Dave's book is called The Pony Trap. He played for SMU during that time. Dave, thanks for popping on ATN.
Hey, thanks for having me tonight. I appreciate it.
All right, so first of all, take us back to what it was like for you. Previous to getting the death penalty and how excited you were playing for a really good football team, and then this happens.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, you know, I can kind of do the setup piece and get you into kind of the Wayback Machine. You know, I came out of high school in 1984, and it was a very different world. You know, no internet, and most kids, when they went off to college, they stayed fairly close. And I grew up in Colorado, but SMU, I mean, it was one of the top programs in the country. And even though we couldn't watch it on cable TV or hear about it much on the internet or anything, everybody knew what the Pony Express was, and there were some players like Eric Dickerson and Craig James. These guys were all world, and so they were able to recruit outside of the Texas market, and they got up into Colorado and other places, and the school was a great fit for me. Good academics, great city, great football. So I was completely excited to come down here and play here.
So then you come down, you play, and you just told the story of knowing that there are big names, names that people still know today. How exciting is that? And then what was it like when, was it like a bomb went off in the locker room when the word came down about the death penalty?
Yeah, it was kind of odd. I mean, we knew it was bad. When we'd gotten put on probation in 1985 for paying a particular player, and we got hit with probation pretty hard. So that was my sophomore year. But my junior year, there were some allegations that surfaced, and the way the rules had changed, if you got caught twice within a 5-year period, you were eligible for this thing called the death penalty. And we'd heard about it. It was a new penalty that the NCAA came up with in 1985. But we didn't really think much of it. We didn't think they'd really use it because it just seemed too big of a penalty. I mean, so, you know, basically the allegations come out in October of 86, and, on campus, it was kind of a turmoil. It was a big turmoil. We ended up firing our coaches. We ended up firing our president. The Board of Governors was in turmoil. So that happened in October, November of 86. And then we basically sat around for 4 months just waiting to find out what would happen. We had no idea what was going on behind the scenes. And then in February of 87, you know, we get a phone call, and we're told to go to our team meeting room in our stadium on campus. And so we go in this room, and they got a little closed circuit TV set up, and they've got a feed going into the student center where they're putting on this big press conference with the NCAA and NCAA representatives and SMU representatives, and so we're watching this thing live, but we're not allowed to be there, and we can barely hear it, we can barely see it. We're crowded around the TV, and we're waiting to find out what our sentence is going to be. We thought that we'd get the death penalty, but we hoped that we wouldn't. I mean, it just didn't seem real. So they announced it. They gave us a 1-year penalty, killed the program, and then everything kind of blew up. We didn't know what we were going to do. We didn't know if we were going to stay, if we were going to transfer, if we were going to get coaches again. We didn't know anything, and we had no coaches or anybody to tell us anything, and no NCAA representatives came to tell us anything. So it was just a bunch of kids in a room, upset, and we had no idea what was happening. We had no idea what was coming.
Yeah, and you decided to stay. What made you decide to stay?
Well, I mean, I thought about transferring too. I mean, like any 21-year-old kid, you know, we all have dreams of how far we can go.
Yeah.
But I mean, I had 3 years at SMU. I was on track to graduate. I joined a fraternity. I was invested in the SMU community. I liked the SMU community. So I decided that I would transfer, but it would only be for a program or a school that was at least as good as SMU or better. And you know, I looked at USC, and I looked at Miami, and I looked at some other private schools in good cities, and I settled on Stanford. The NCAA was looking at USC and Miami back then, and I didn't want any more of that stuff. So Stanford was the school that I looked at. I called them. They hadn't come to campus. There'd been a bunch of coaches from around the country descended on our campus, but Stanford wasn't one of them. So I called them. And I said, hey, here's who I am. Here's what I'm looking to do. I'll send you some film. I'll fly up there on my own nickel. And they said, thanks, but no thanks. They said, Dave, don't take it personal, but not just you, but all of you players are tainted by this, and we don't want that on our campus. I mean, they were nice. They were polite. And then they said goodbye. And so I hung up the phone, and I realized that was it. I mean, I made a decision that I wasn't just going to transfer anywhere, and the place that I wanted to go wasn't interested, so I decided to commit myself to SMU and academics, and so I stayed 2 more years. I graduated with 2 degrees, and that was the end of my football career.
Wow. And, it's interesting. You see what's happened since SMU and the death penalty, and you look at what has happened in other college football programs, and as you see what happened right in the high time of your college career, it hasn't happened again since then. So why is that? Is that frustrating to you to see what happened and the fact that there are other schools that definitely would have fallen into that category, but they didn't get the penalty?
Yeah, I'm mixed on the thing because, I mean, you're right. SMU was the first one that got it. There have been 29 schools who have been eligible for the death penalty since SMU. Every one of them has been given a waiver on it. They've been penalized, but they're not to that level. The NCAA, I think what they did is they realized they went too far with the SMU penalty. I mean, they can't really go back and revise the NCAA bylaws, so the death penalty legislation is still in their book, but it's very clear they're never going to use it again. It's very clear the penalty was so much more than they ever thought it would be. It didn't just hurt the team or the guilty players. It got all the innocent players, of course, and it all the coaches and everybody who'd been fired, they were all gone, so they didn't even get touched by the penalty. So the bomb was dropped on everybody that was left behind. So the NCAA saw that, and they realized that it's a poorly written, a poorly thought out penalty, and I don't think they'll ever do it again. Like I said, 29 other schools have qualified, and they've decided not to give it to them. So there's your evidence right there.
Yeah, no kidding. So you see that that happens, then I would imagine it had to have a rippling effect across the campus. Was the campus mood pretty dire? Were there black clouds floating around and people pretty upset?
You know, that's what's so funny. I mean, the world has changed so much because of cable TV and Internet. I mean, every time you flip on something, you can see something across the country or around the world. But back in the 80s, we didn't have that. And so a lot of people really don't know what happened on SMU's campus. I mean, if the same thing happened today, it would have been front page news all over the world for a long time because we had Vietnam-style protests. The entire campus had sit-ins in the main quad where they didn't go into class. They had demands that they wanted on the school for what they would do with the football program. You had 200 faculty professors sign a document saying that they didn't want quasi-professional, a.k.a. scholarship athletes, on campus anymore. I mean, it was complete turmoil, and it didn't even make the news. I mean, locally it did. If you were in Dallas, you would have seen it on some local news, but nobody even knows what happened. It was terrible. And as a student or as an athlete who decided to stay, it was pretty challenging. I mean, I'm called out by professors, you know, as I'm the reason that all these bad things are going on. Other students were like, you're the reason that my degree has been diminished. And it was challenging. And I'll tell you, if it wasn't for my fraternity and if it wasn't for some great friends, you know, I thought about dropping out. I mean, it was a really challenging time. And I am blessed that I was able to get through that semester. And then it got better. I mean, it became a regular student experience for me. But it was a lot of turmoil.
Yeah. Now we fast forward, and somebody told me that you're trying to get back into that football fighting shape and actually try to play again. What? For all the weekend warriors out there listening across America, Dave, are you crazy? What's the deal on that?
Well, I am crazy. I mean, I think the coaches think I'm crazy. The NCAA thought I was crazy. The SMU compliance department thought I was crazy. My wife thought I was crazy. But, you know, the truth is, I had a health scare. I'm 47 now. I was 45, 46 at the time. And I thought I had cancer, and so I decided I was going to get serious about getting back in shape. I'd really let myself go because, I mean, you look around, a lot of ex-athletes, you know, we don't take care of ourselves so well. And I was one of those guys. But I had a health scare and started working out. And then the second thing that happened is, you know, this the ESPN has this series called 30 for 30 where they've done all these films, and there was one that was done on SMU. And somehow or other, my oldest daughter had heard something about it because the story was kind of alive again in Dallas because of that film. So my daughter says to me, "Hey, Daddy, you played football for SMU back then?" I said, "Yeah." And she says, "Did you do anything wrong? You know, I heard bad things happened there." I said, "No, babe, I didn't do anything wrong. Why?" And so, long story short is, we sat down, we watched that SMU film, and it really didn't answer her question as to what happened and did I do anything wrong. And so that started me down a path of, well, how can I answer her? So what I thought was, strangely, I'd always joked that I had my 2 years of eligibility, and, you know, if SMU was playing poorly, I was like, well, I'll just suit up and go down there and help them. I mean, what the heck? I got my eligibility. Why not? But it was always a joke. And all of a sudden I realized, no, I wanted to prove some things. And so I did it. I got back in shape. I gained about 35 pounds. I modeled myself after the NFL combine numbers, so I'm 6'4", I'm 275, I can bench press 225 28 times. I mean, I'm stronger than I was when I was 21, and I'm as fast as when I was 21. And I ran the traps with the NCAA and the compliance department, and I went all the way through this for 8 months. And the week before practice started, you know, head coach June Jones, who'd been waffling on it, I mean, they had meetings about it, and the coaches were telling me, we don't know what he's going to do. We just don't know, because he has to bless it. And the week before practice, he said no, he wasn't going to do it. It was too risky a proposition, and they just didn't want to go there. You know, so on the upside, I'm in good shape. But on the downside, you know, I failed. I didn't make it.
But you tried, and that's the key thing. And the book is called The Pony Trap. Dave Blewett, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight. Pick up the book, folks, and we wish you the best.
Hey, thank you very much.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
My name is Josh. One World Way is the best in the market, hands down. I'm in the U.S. Navy, and I live a very active lifestyle. Being a vegetarian, it's hard getting all the protein I need. I tried their vegan protein powders, and I just wasn't feeling any change. The meathead supplement store whey protein kind of worked for a bit, but it left me feeling bloated, and my digestion seemed to slow down. By some divine stroke of luck, I heard a commercial of One World Way on the radio, and it struck my interest. I have to tell you, I am so glad I got it. I have been taking it for a week, and the results are amazing. I don't feel tired when I have to get up at 4:30 a.m. I look and feel better. I recover faster from my two workouts a day. When I don't have time to eat good food, I take it, and I don't feel the urge to stuff my face for hours. I got up this morning, and I looked the leanest I've looked since high school. I can go on and on. The best I can do to repay you is buy more and tell my friends.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Of coffee. Are you kidding me? You can go to McDonald's, and depending on what neighborhood you live in, because I noticed that they charge differing amounts, but you can get a cup of their Joe for about $1.60. Starbucks is offering a geisha coffee, $7 for this coffee. What does it do, dance for you? Seriously, 16-ounce grande cup. It is the priciest brew, the Costa Rica Finca Palmiera coffee, is $40 for a half-pound bag. Therefore, to pass the cost on to you, the customer, the consumer, it is $7. Geisha. Mm-hmm. And they're offering it in 46 locations in the Northwest with expensive Clover brewing machines. Is that supposed to make you feel better? Oh, the loyal customers. Look what you'll pay. $7 for some coffee. Sounds like a wild ripoff to me. What coffee is worth $7? When I read this story, it was in the Washington Post, I was like, what? Are you kidding me? It's ridiculous. Okay, this has a big price tag, hundreds of billions of dollars. What do you think costs hundreds of billions of dollars? If you were thinking military hardware or jets, you are absolutely right. Check it out. And I remember thinking that these planes were going to be really, really cool. These jets were going to be cool if they were able to pull it off. But the Marine version of the F-35 Joint Striker Fighter has been in the making for over a decade. Now, can it go past the speed of sound? That was the one of the headlines I saw in the New York Times, and I was thinking, wow, you know what? How cool would that be? And they're testing it. They've been testing it, rotating the engine. You know, the engine rotates basically straight down. It glides onto the decks, they say, at 7 feet a second. 7 feet a second. That's pretty cool. So this is huge for the program. It's the most expensive weapon system in military history. The Pentagon says that, you know, this is the 12th year in development, but it's behind schedule. Now you have technological flaws that have been a problem here. And what about the short flight range? That's a threat. When you look at Asia. And then the other threat is, what happens when Congress lops off a chunk of money to the military budget? You would have to think that this is going to be mothballed a bit. This is supposedly the Pentagon's answer to a state-of-the-art aircraft that would be adapted to three branches of the military. And that most foes could easily be overcome by this plane. It's a radar-evading jet. But tick, 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 time is running out. You know how much it costs for the average one? $137 million. It was $69 million in 2001 to build it, but now it's up to $137 million. So what does it mean? The jets would cost us $396 billion. If they stick with this. And they hope to build 2,400 plus by the late 2030s. So that's four times as much as any other weapon system. You think it's worth it? I think it's cool. And the fact that it has to, or it has the capability of evading the radar is good. But because of where we are financially, I think that there's a good chance that this program becomes overnight unaffordable. Unaffordable for where we are budgetary wise with the military. I can't imagine it standing. I can't. Because you do the math and that's a crazy number. Absolute crazy number. If you were listening at some point in the show, I told you that New York on Monday had no murders, stabbings, any of that kind of stuff. It was like a nonviolent day. It's crazy. 8 million people, city of 8 million people, five boroughs, the Queens and Bronx and Brooklyn and Manhattan. Nothing, nada. Long Island, nothing. That's amazing. They haven't seen statistics like that in a very, very long time. In the meantime, the Oakland crime rate took off because the city is losing police, so they say they're up to about 33 to 40 burglaries a day. Ugh, those aren't good numbers. And the city fears that that's just going to continue to climb because there's not the men in blue tracking them down, the flatfoots in the cars, whatever, because they've cut back so much on the police force. All right, and I have some sad news to tell you about since I have confirmed this. Powerball folks say there have been two winners. Two winning tickets were sold, one in Arizona, one in Missouri. So I have people listening to us in both of those places. Maybe you're a winner. And then there were other people who won smaller amounts of money. But the pot was $579.9 million at the time of the drawing. So you know what the cash option would be on that, $379.8 million. Tickets were selling at such a clip 130,000 a minute nationwide. That's amazing. Oh, everybody wanted a piece of this. And apparently someone in Arizona and somebody in Missouri, they're going to get to claim the prize. And, you know, who knows if it's a group of people or if we're talking about, you know, one winner here and one winner there. An 80-foot Norway spruce that got through Superstorm Sandy became a beacon of hope, or at least the season anyway, when it was lit up on Wednesday. New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg and others turned on the lights at the Rock. There was thousands of people crowded behind barricades on the streets. It's a traditional thing that happens in the city. You have a video screen. It's got an image of the tree, because if you don't see from where you are, they want to make sure people have the best chance at that. And they've got 30,000 lights on the tree. 30,000 lights. The tree is from Mount Olive, New Jersey. How about that? A 10-ton tree. It was there for years at the homestead of the family for that long. Measured about 22 feet tall in 1973. And then its girth reached about 50 in diameter. So, wow, that's crazy. That is one big tree. And it's a tree I saw, but it was, of course, wrapped up. It had all the scaffolding by it because they were doing the lighting thing on Wednesday. So I missed the tree that was lit. You know, the tradition of Christmas trees being put up at Rockefeller Center started in 1931 when workers put the center up. You know, they centered the first one and put it up. And no tree was put up the following year. And in 1933, the first tree lighting ceremony actually took place. It's going to be up there till January 7th. And then what's really cool is it gets turned into lumber for Habitat for Humanity. Because think about that. It's so big. How great is that that they, that's what they end up doing with it. And the 80-foot tree comes down. Yep. All right, here's our last one. When we talk about numbers and week and counts, and I always say there's so many numbers, and every day the numbers just really pop out at me because that's, you know, ultimately that's what we're looking at when we look at some of these stories. So MTV, how old do you think MTV is? If you were thinking 30, ding, 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 MTV back in its heyday was the bomb, 24-hour music, and it's really changed over the years because it's, that's not what it's about anymore with iPods and other ways to get music. I mean, I don't know. Kind of the art of the video and music is a little bit lost anyway. So some massive changes have happened since 30 years of MTV. And, you know, a lot of things that they've tried to do, they've had a hard time doing. They were the forerunners back in 1981. It seemed mind-boggling that there would be a 24-hour music video channel. And boy, we've come a long way since then, haven't we?
That's an awful lot of money for the stupidest idea I've ever heard.
I don't think they were just sketchy. I think they were extra sketchy.
Millions of people are going to get sick this winter from colds, flu, and other illnesses. Don't be one of them. Protect yourself with Supernatural Silver, a revolutionary new broad-spectrum antibacterial solution. Recent advances in silver technology have resulted in a silver solution that can be used daily to prevent bacteria, viruses, mold, and food poisoning, and help improve wound healing. Supernatural Silver is safe enough to consume every day, while powerful enough to destroy the causes of many serious diseases, such as strep, staph, pneumonia, cold, flus, and other harmful pathogens. This new technology has the ability to terminate entire colonies of harmful bacteria at several hundred times the effectiveness of colloidal or ionic silver solutions. The Science Digest Journal says silver is our mightiest germ fighter. It is virtually non-toxic and is emerging as a wonder of modern medicine. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com today and use the promo code SILVER2012 for 20% off. That's SupernaturalSilver.com, and like us on Facebook.